What's up, everybody? I'm David Hain. Welcome to episode 190 of the A to D From Addict to Disciple podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to our new listeners from Greece. That brings our total to 66 countries. If you want to help us reach more people in more countries, please subscribe, follow, and share the link with your friends, or click on the support link in this episode's description. Your donation of any amount could change a life. If you'd like to get our curriculum, you can get the paperback or ebook of From Ashes to Destiny on Amazon. When we come back, we'll get to this episode entitled The Damage Done. Welcome back to episode 190 of the A to D From Addict to Disciple podcast entitled The Damage Done. Well, for some of you old heads out there, you might recognize that phrase from Neil Young's song, The Needle and the Damage Done, which he wrote when a good friend died of an overdose. And I just want to take a couple lyrics from it. And they are, I've seen the needle and the damage done, a little part of it in every one, but every junkie's like the setting sun. You see, Neil said in this song that firsthand, when his friend overdosed, he saw the damage done, but he realized that there's a little part of the damage done in everyone who was associated with his friend, his family, his other friends, business people, whatever. But then realizing that every junkie's like a setting sun, and it's almost like as we get addicted, the sun goes down on life. And it's not a beautiful sunset. It's just the sun disappearing from our life, which results in all the things we lose from the damage done. And as that sun goes down in our life, it's like the Elton John song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, where he said, but losing everything is like the sun going down on me. And with this title in this episode, The Needle and the Damage Done, I look at the losses that come from the damage, whether it's physical, mental, short-term, long-term, damage in our body, our mind, our behavior, our relationships, just on and on. And I looked at several categories of the damage. The first would be the immediate damage. And instantly, damage starts when we begin to isolate. When we especially withdraw from friends and family emotionally. And we have a loss of joy in our life. And immediately we begin to lose control of our choices and our decisions and our behavior. And our life becomes unmanageable even though we think we're managing it. Another area of the damage done is personal. And for me, this revolves around all the deception and the manipulation that we get involved in. And it really becomes personal. It affects everything we say, everything we do, the lies we tell ourselves, and the lies we tell others. And a good way that this is described is from American author of young adult fiction, A.S. King. And she wrote, I can't stop myself from reaching for the bottle that's under my seat. I've gone all night without a sip, but it's not about being addicted. It's about being told what to do my whole life and doing it and then losing everything anyway. You see the personal side of the damage of addiction. Even when we're aware of the wound, and in this case, A.S. King's wound of being told what to do their whole life and doing it, but failing anyway. Next category, there's also collateral damage. And I really look at this on our family and friends. And, you know, it's the fact that we take so much for granted. We take our friends for granted, our family, our future, our tomorrow. And we also take for granted that we are holding on to the belief that we can stop whenever we want to, but we lose that ability to stop whenever we want to. And that leads to so many broken promises to our friends and family, and so much of our dreams and our hopes for the future being damaged. There's also residual damage. And I look at this really on our body. Even when we get clean and sober, there's still residual, or, you know, the aftermath damage on our lungs, our heart, like, you know, high pressure in blood pressure, collapsed veins, damage on our liver for alcoholics, damage to our brain, which has been rewired, and our whole craving mentality and our reward circuit being changed. So there's lots of physical residual damage that's done from our addiction. There's also lingering damage. And for me, this is the emotional side of things. There's the bouts of anxiety and depression and paranoia and insomnia, where we just can't sleep for no reason at all. There's aggression and anger and guilt and shame and bipolar, just so many emotional things that linger even when we're in recovery. And I've worked with so many meth addicts, especially, who have the lingering anger and the lingering paranoia. And they go like, I've been clean 6 months, I've been clean a year, I've been clean 2 years, and why am I still dealing with this? And, you know, it's just a result of the damage done in our addiction. There's also life-changing damage. You know, people now have a criminal record, or they've been in prison, or they've sold themselves, they've sold their body to get money for drugs. Or we begin to realize just all the years of life that we lost, and not just years in our age, but years of living and life. And that we can never get those years back again, and our life has been changed by having that void of 5, 10, 20 years in our life. And then there's damage that people can view as permanent. Things like having HIV/AIDS, or that they lost their family and they're divorced and they can't undo that. Or they've lost custody of their children and the ability to be a mom or a dad. And often with these last ones, the long-term sort of damage, the life-changing and the permanent, as well as the family things, lots of grief sets in. And C.S. Lewis, the British writer and theologian, wrote, "Grief, the pain now is part of the happiness then." That's the deal. You got that? And I'd like to say, in addiction, the pain now that we have when we are in recovery is part of the happiness that we were chasing in our addiction. That's the deal. So addiction comes with damage. It's part of the deal. And the pain that lingers on is part of the deal. And I think it's a lot because in addiction, we know the price of everything and the value of nothing. You got that? You know, we know how much the drugs are selling for. We know the price of what, how much money we need to hustle up to get what we want. But we don't know the value of anything. We'll hustle stuff up and sell and pawn stuff at 10 cents on the dollar. And so I want to ask some questions, you know, just sort of rhetorically. What's the value of personal hygiene? Just taking a shower, brushing your teeth, having clean clothes. What's the value of self-esteem, self-worth, self-worthiness? What's the value of family or friendship? What's the value of having our own place, our own apartment? What's the value of having a job or a car? What's the value of love and having that in your life? What's the value of having someone who truly understands you. You know, all these are things that are part of the damage that we lose in addiction. But we don't see the value of any of them as they slip through our fingers just for the needle, just for the drug, just for the drink, just for the porn. So in addiction, we really lose everything by first losing our grip on understanding the value of each and everything in our life. Our wound inside is so strong that it robs our head of reason. But as we start recovery, we can choose how we deal with the things we lost. We can choose how we process the damage done by the needle of our addiction. Do we stay stuck in remorse, guilt, and resentment? Or do we grow from the pain? I like the quote by Mia Farrow, an American actress, when she said, "Life is about losing everything gracefully." So that's a challenge in recovery. Can you learn how to lose things humbly and gracefully? Can you accept that you already lost them and the damage is done? And as we find grace in that, in our attitude, in our mindset, in our memories, in our thoughts, we begin to gain the clarity to start a new life. And Franz Kafka, the German-speaking bohemian novelist, wrote, "Life's splendor forever lies in wait about each one of us in all its fullness, but veiled from view, deep down, invisible, far off. It is there, though, not hostile, not reluctant, not deaf. If you summon it by the right word, by its name, it will come." Can you hear that? The splendor of a new life is waiting inside each one of us in its fullness. It may be veiled. We may not see it. It may be so far off and so deep down that it seems invisible to us. But that doesn't mean it's hostile or reluctant or deaf. It will come out if we summon it by the right word. Summon this splendor back into our life in recovery. And I think the key is gracefulness in the way we accept the damage done and the way we move forward. Thanks for listening to this episode of the A to D From Addict to Disciple podcast. If you need help processing your damage done and finding grace to put the splendor of your new life into bloom, into blossom this season, then it's time now to reach out and join a group. You can message me on the link in this podcast or by email at davidfromatod@gmail.com or go to my website www.fromatod.org and click on the contact page. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave your comments by clicking on the link they provide in that platform. Tune in Monday for our next episode, and as always, stay safe and stay resilient.